Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Today we're beginning a new series as we approach Christmas. Can anyone here believe that we are approaching Christmas? Put your hand up if you've begun your Christmas shopping. Great, two of you. No, there's a bit more than that. But we're beginning a series today entitled God Became Man. You know, in Christian theology, the doctrine of the incarnation holds that Jesus Christ, the Son of our Heavenly Father, the pre-existent second Godhead in the Trinity, chose to step out of eternity into a human body and walk amongst humanity. In comprehending how God became man, it's important to understand the word incarnate. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, then we need to understand the word incarnate or incarnation, which especially means to embody or represent a deity or spirit in human form. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and made in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who was the Theotokos, which is the Greek word for God-bearer. The doctrine of the incarnation entails that when Jesus was on earth, he was both fully God and fully man. God became man. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory." The incarnation of Jesus Christ is incomprehensible to the human mind because God is eternal and outside of all time, quantum mechanics, and earthly measures. His presence is incomparable. His faithfulness is unshakable. His fire is unquenchable. His thoughts are higher than the heavens. His grace is all sufficient, and his mercies endure forever. He is God, the rock eternal, and yet God became man. And the only way that we can comprehend the incarnation is by divine revelation and by the illumination of Scripture by the Holy Spirit, which is the greatest truth of the greatest magnitude on the planet. And so God became man, but why? Today I want to share three reasons why God became man. Are you ready? Do we have any note takers in the congregation today? Put your hand up if you're a note taker. Got a lot of note takers. You're not just a note taker, you're an artist. And I've got that drawing that you drew for me on in my office. So thank you for that. And if you ever want to draw something else, you know, perhaps based on today's message, I'll gratefully receive it. Praise God. It's good to be a note taker. Maybe we need Mark Waite in 2018 to bring us a message about the power of journaling and note taking. He's not here today, but he'll be listening to this. And so, Mark, remind me to remind you to bring a message. Help me to help others. Help me. Anyway, let's move right on. Move right along. Okay, three reasons why God became man. Point number one, God became man to reveal God to man. The incarnation of the Son of God unites earth to heaven. God the Father's greatest revelation of himself to man is in and is revealed through Jesus Christ, which is why we need a revelation of the incarnation of God. Jesus Christ is the supreme revelation of God the Father, and Jesus is an exact representation of him. In John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus had already explained this a few chapters earlier in John chapter 5, verse 19, when Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner." What heaven wants us to comprehend today is this: Jesus is an exact representation of the Father and is the Word made flesh. This is why we need a revelation. We need a revelation. Revelation is the disclosure of truth previously unknown. And such a revelation refers to an unfailing of our hearts and minds that we may receive and perceive divine thoughts. The Greek word for revelation is the word apokalypto, which means to uncover or to reveal, to be distinctly declared, to be announced, manifested, and to be discovered in true character and nature. You know, as a senior pastor, one of the things that I come across with believers is, you know, just this struggle in their Christian life. And one of the reasons why I believe they have a struggle in their Christian life is because they have a revelation of salvation, but not a revelation of sanctification. They have a revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Savior of the world, but they don't have an ongoing revelation of Jesus and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Because that's where the real work begins. You know, it's in the sanctification process where Christians become really discouraged and think to themselves, "Oh, why go to church and be with other great people when I'm struggling the way that I am? Why go to church and be with other believers who are just, they just seem to have it all together? They just seem like the model person, the model marriage, the model family, even though we don't know what goes on behind closed doors." And we stop at a revelation of salvation and don't get a revelation of grace when it comes to the sanctification process. And so Christians get discouraged. An ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ is so important because Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint and perish, but blessed are they who hold on to God's word." I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but someone here in this place needs to hear you need to hold on to God's word. You need to hold on. I know it's hard. I know the pull of the flesh and the pull of the world is coming against you to go and chase the girls, to go and chase the boys, to be in places and where perhaps you should not be and looking for love and all the wrong faces. But I want to encourage you to lift up the name of Jesus and to hold on to God's word. Is that a good word for someone? Number two, God became man to reveal man's heart. Through the incarnation, Jesus Christ came to give man a revelation of the true state of man's heart, as he reveals who we have become through the fall, going back to Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. He wanted to give us a revelation of who we have become through the fall. And in case you didn't know, that Jesus Christ, he is the second Adam. We had the first Adam in the natural, in the book of Genesis, but Jesus came to set the record straight. He is the second Adam, the spiritual Adam, and he came not just to give us a revelation of the true state of our fallen nature and who we have become, but he also came to give us a revelation of who we can be in Christ. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart of flesh." And before God could give us a heart of flesh, God first of all had to become flesh. You know, the greatest revelation of the true state of man's heart, and even as I was preparing this and, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me, it really shocked me and caused a great sense of
you know, just I had just this sense of awe, and I felt quite sober as the Holy Spirit revealed this to me. But the greatest revelation of the true state of man's heart and cruel hatred and rebellion towards God is clearly revealed at the crucifixion. You know, the Son of God incarnate was all loving, pure, and sinless, giving hope to the hopeless, healing all kinds of sicknesses, and yet man crucified him because of man's love and lust for the darkness. And one of the reasons why Jesus came is to reveal not just who we have become through the fall, but who we can become through Christ. Which leads me to my last point today. Number three, God became man to reveal man's problem. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now here's two supreme truths about man, which also become man's two greatest problems. Number one, man cannot free himself from the invisible imprisonment of sin. And number two, man cannot free himself from the condemnation of sin. But Luke chapter 4 verse 18 states that Jesus has come to set the captives free. And that's good news. He has come to set the captives free. Free from the invisible imprisonment and condemnation of sin. And the way that we get free is believing on the incarnation of God through Jesus Christ, his sinless life and sacrifice upon the cross, and through confession and repentance of sin. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Jesus Christ left eternity to come to earth so that he might engage earth with heaven. Can we keep in mind for a moment that Jesus Christ was there from the beginning? It says that all things were created through him. Try and think about that for a few moments. I mean, go as far as your mind will take you as you begin to ponder on that thought that all things were created through him and for him, and all things are held together by the power of his word. We're not just talking about the earth and all its fullness and us and the animals and the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. We're talking about countless galaxies. We're talking about Jesus putting, as it were, on an axis the different planets and setting them on their course in perfect unity and harmony. We're talking about Jesus throwing stars into space, and as they were hurling through the universe, he said, "Stop," and they obeyed him. We're talking about the one who created the oceans and would allow the sea to go thus far onto the shore, and he said, "That's enough," and the seas obeyed him. We're talking about Jesus who became incarnate, and I believe that in the next few moments, the Holy Spirit wants to so give us a greater picture of what Jesus has done. You know, to go from living in a hotel, let's say it's a five-star hotel, to living on the streets, or to go from sleeping in your bed to living and sleeping under a bridge cannot be compared to what Christ has done in leaving eternity and living on earth. Living on the streets or sleeping under a bridge is not an accurate comparison, and yet most would not even do this. But for the sake of our salvation, Jesus leaves eternity, his heavenly throne, and walks among sinful man where there is now oxygen for, you know, if you can keep in mind that Jesus in eternity didn't need oxygen, but now his body requires oxygen. He now experiences the sweat of the brow, the law of gravity, and where everything now is subject to time as he completely and totally immerses himself into our world.
And of course, his great arrival, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, great arrival to our world, to our planet, is not in a gold chariot of fire, but his arrival is as a baby in a manger who was wrapped in swaddling cloths. In case you don't know, swaddling cloths are waste material. It's the kind of material that is, they are leftovers to be thrown out. But there wasn't even a clean blanket to wrap the baby Jesus in. You know, when Billy Graham, most of us would have heard of Billy Graham. When Billy Graham was a young boy, he shares the story of how God revealed the gospel to him through observing ants. For some reason, Billy Graham was just fascinated with ants. He was so fascinated that he would watch the ants work together, colonize, and build their anthills. And he would watch them for hours and watch their progress. But once a month, the pest control would come and spray all around the house, inside and out, which inevitably not only killed the spiders and the insects, but also the ants. And one day, Billy was sitting in front of this anthill, watching the ants do their thing, knowing that tomorrow a man is going to come and terminate all the ants. And so he goes to his mother and says, "Mom, what can I do to warn the ants of the danger and the threat upon their colony that is coming tomorrow?" The mother responded and said, "Have you tried talking to them?" Billy said, "I tried, but they're not listening. I even went and looked for the biggest ant I could find. I picked him up in my hand and said, 'Listen, your kind gets removed every month from my property, and that day for you is coming tomorrow. Can you please gather the rest of your family and colony and tell them that they have less than 24 hours to leave before a poison that looks like food will hit your territory and all of you will die?'" Billy said, "But that fat little ant just looked at me and did nothing. And when I put him down, he just went about his everyday business as if no pending danger or judgment were coming." And his mother said, "Well, there's only one thing you can do in order to reach ants. If you want ants to listen to you, you must become an ant so that you can walk where they walk, live where they live, and talk their talk." And it was in this moment that the Holy Spirit gave Billy Graham a revelation of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the reason why God became man. In order for Jesus to be able to identify and sympathize and empathize with our weaknesses, he had to become like one of us, to walk where we've walked, to experience the highest form of rejection, the highest form of persecution, the highest form of loneliness, the highest form of hatred. No one has ever been through what he has been through, but he did it so that he could identify with you and I. Otherwise, how could Jesus respond to us when we go to him and say, "God, would you please heal me of my sickness?" And Jesus would have to say, "What is sickness? Or, God, help me in this time of great loneliness at Christmas time." Jesus would have to say, "What's loneliness? I've never encountered loneliness." But of course, we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out to the Father, and the Father answered him not. And he even said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And we know the rest of that story. I wonder how we might respond if God came to us and said, "I've got a great plan for your life. And I know that you've given your life to me," God says, and "that your life is now mine, and you're doing all you can to follow me and to serve me." And he says, "I've got a mission for you. I know that you live well, he might say. I know that you eat good food. I know that you're comfortable in your bed, but I'm asking you to become an ant. Because I just love ants. I want to reach ants with my gospel, with my truth, with my love. Would you in your current state become an ant for the sake of the Father's love and salvation to the ant world? Because let me tell you something. Us becoming an ant to reach ants falls so far short to what Jesus did in becoming incarnated as a man. But he did that for us. He did that for us. You know, it's actually my conviction that God actually does require us to be ant-like. You know, the Bible says, don't think so highly of yourself. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. But with lowliness of mind, humble yourself and let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself upon the cross and the death of the cross at that. I want to invite you to stand this morning. I'll invite the rest of the team to come. Philippians 2 verse 3b also says, in lowliness of mind, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. I have personally found in my life, when I think more highly of myself than I ought, trouble is around the corner. But I also find this, when I have the right mindset about myself under the Lordship of Christ, things are easier. But when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, on the other side of that is justifying ourselves. On the other side of that is defending ourselves. On the other side of that is unforgiveness, is resentment, is bitterness, because there's this thought that says, how could they have done that to me? How could they have done that of all people? I can understand why they would do it to them, because I'm better than them, but of all people, they did that to me. Bring it on, now it's on. Do you know what I'm saying? And then I think to myself, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I think about Jesus, who did not defend himself. When Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And do you not know, Pilate said, that I have the power to crucify you or not crucify you? Jesus, in one moment, said nothing. He didn't defend himself. He allowed his Father in heaven to do so. But having said all of this, he may have become a baby. He may have been Jesus Christ, the incarnate. God became man. He may have come as a baby, but he's coming back as a king in his true nature, in his true state. And my last passage today is this. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I just want to give someone the opportunity today to get their lives right with God. It's a pretty big deal. Will you do that today? If that's you, then I want to pray a very simple prayer and invite you to pray after me. And so if you know that you need to get your life right with him, can I encourage you to pray this simple prayer from your heart after me today? Wow. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I humbly come before you this day, and I thank you for what you have done for me. I ask you now to forgive me of all my sins
and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You are my Lord, and you are my Savior, my soon coming King. Help me to be the person you've created me to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you're, we've got some guests here today, and if you're looking for a new church home, perhaps you haven't been in church for a while, I'm not really sure, but I'd like to recommend Gateway Life Church.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you're equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or learn more about Gateway Life Church, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.